All it takes is one single injury to another player for these wide receiver threes to have huge fantasy football potential in the 2026 season. Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good pal and co-host Tyler Orzynski, aka Tyler O. And today we're going to talk about the thing that I said at the beginning. There are pass catchers in the NFL who may not have immediate opportunity available to them, but players get hurt in football all the time. And if an injury on a depth chart happens, these are some of the names that we think people should target. You have an entire article about this, Tyler, over on ftnfantasy.com, talking about wide receiver threes, who some of your favorites are, and I will leave a link for it in the description, as I usually do with the articles that we reference. But when you're looking at receivers further down on depth charts, is there like a particular like archetype of guy that you look for? Is there any sort of indicator or anything that you pick up on that helps you narrow down that list? Or, you know, kind of just talk listeners through your process a little bit.
And I think there's going to be a lot of different signals, right? I think you got to look at the team first. Like, is it a good team? Is it good offense? Is it a good offensive coordinator? Is it a good coach? That's going to play a role, but it's not the only piece here. There's going to be plenty of players on this list who don't have good quarterbacks and might not have good offenses. And then it could also come down to the talent. Like, it's a sum of all the parts, right? And I think for me, it's just there's enough parts for me to be interested at their current prices is the best way that I could kind of describe this. And I know I've kind of labeled it wide receiver threes, but the best way to think about this is, hey, these are some late, like mid to late wide receivers that I've found myself clicking on a lot. And I just decided to put some pen to paper here and describe, like, hey, why am I clicking these guys a lot? They're not guys that I expect to be in my lineup week one as of today in June. But things can happen. The chips can, you know, the chips can go a certain way. The things can fall a certain way, and they could be relevant real fast. So that's where I'm at with these guys. Happy to jump in. Excited to jump in.
Oh, same. Especially because you put together a really fun list of players that some of which are some of my favorite guys to talk about. And we'll start with the first name, a prospect that I was super high on when he came into the NFL a few years ago. But being in the Green Bay Packers offense has slowed things down for Jaden Reed. It's been a little bit difficult for really any pass catcher there to establish a ton of dominance outside of tight end Tucker Kraft, but yet his injury, and this episode isn't about tight ends. But Jaden Reed, he's in a pretty interesting spot, especially with Romeo Dobbs leaving this offseason, different things like that going on. Like, how do you think he will fare in this upcoming season now that you could argue that things are, I guess, a little bit more consolidated?
Yep. So Romeo Dobbs out the door, Dontavia Wicks out the door. This has always been the problem with the Packers. There's been two problems with the Packers. One of the problems has been it's just been a rotation of players. I think it's fair to say that Christian Watson has kind of proved to be the alpha of the group, but injury has certainly not been the way going his way. So he's been out, and when Watson's out, they seem to just kind of cycle through guys a lot as no one is able to break apart, right? Now, Watson's healthy and Wicks and Dubes are out the door. So we're sitting here with a clear three wide receivers in Watson, in Reed, and in Golden. The other thing that's been working against the Packers here for a bit is they have had a very aggressive and high run rate. So what that means is that they are running the ball more than most teams in the NFL, which is not good for the wide receivers, particularly when you're platooning the wide receiver group, which has essentially led us to there's not a lot of value on this Packers wide receiver bench for the last couple of years. So just wanted to set the stage there, like where I'm at with things. I think overarching team level, I have the Packers being a bit more pass heavy. We've seen it before. I don't have the year at the top of my head, but we have seen Jordan Love in this offense be a pass heavy offense a couple of years ago. And I think just considering what's going on with the running back position that, while Love is healthy, I am projecting the Packers to be a little bit more pass heavy than we've seen before. So that by itself is going to benefit the pass catchers. And now we have a more consolidated group with Watson. And then we have to talk to ourselves of, well, who's going to be that wide receiver two? Because they do tend to run some wide receiver two sets. We want that wide receiver two in this offense. Is it Golden? Is it Reed? I honestly am okay taking both because Golden goes later than Reed. I want it to be Reed because I believe Reed to be more talented. However, it also could be Golden. Either way, I'm taking swings at this wide receiver too. I don't really know who it is, but Jaden Reed is the name that I'm a little bit more excited for, as you've kind of mentioned, as we like him as a prospect. But this isn't like, hey, I'm fading Golden. I like Golden at his price too. I just think this is going to be a more pass-heavy offense, and I'm going to want these pieces. And we haven't even talked about, hey, what if Watson gets hurt again? Like, we hate projecting injury, but kind of can't stay healthy. Then it is just Golden and Reed. So for me, there's just a lot of things that are happening here. I'm projecting more passes out of this offense, and Reed is a name I'm clicking a lot, and I'm staying on market with Golden as well.
It definitely tracks, especially if, you know, if listeners out there aren't aware of what's been going on with the Josh Jacob things. You use the Google machine, you can figure out what's going on. Who knows if he'll face any sort of suspension, but if anything does go down like that, then like, yeah, they'd kind of have to be forced to throw a little bit more. And I also really like Reed because he is a bit more of a, you know, short area target. He does things in a more complementary fashion versus somebody like Christian Watson. And when you look at guys and the different skill sets they have, it's all about trying to figure out who's going to add the most dimension and blend very well together. So I think Reed specifically highlighting in this offense for that part of the field in those types of situations, he could be a pretty good guy for that. So, you know, keep an eye out for him as we get deeper into draft season. See where that ADP is at. It could be a pretty good deal. But speaking of people who are very, very good at becoming just absolute short area merchants, Jacoby Myers, okay, this is all I'm going to say about Jacoby Myers. Every single year for the past several years, this dude goes out there and produces. He establishes a very solid target share, and he is very steady-handed. I really don't understand why people don't draft Jacoby Myers more, but luckily we have an entire section of this podcast dedicated to it. So share your enthusiasm for Jacoby Myers and what's going on in a kind of weird Jacksonville Jaguars receiver room.
Yeah, it's really strange what's going on here because we have an ascending offense that people are excited about. Trevor Lawrence seems to have finally broken out with the right coaching. We just can't figure out who the starting wide receivers are. Now, ADP would have you believe this is Parker Washington and Brian Thomas, which I think is totally fair. However, I like clicking on Jacoby Myers' name because he is the, by value stance, the de facto wide receiver 3. And he looked good last year, man. They traded for him. He became like a target earner right out of the box. You mentioned it before. He's been a top 32 wide receiver for 5 years straight. Finished as a wide receiver 19 in 2024. And he's got a wide receiver 46 price tag. So, you know, this might be not the biggest upside play of all time, but I think there's spike potential there, and there's multiple outs for Myers. One, maybe he just is the wide receiver 2, and he plays ahead either Washington or Brian Thomas. Plausible. Two, maybe Brian Thomas doesn't get things back together. And I know he was playing with an injury. Like, maybe something happens to Parker Washington. I just think there's a lot of outs on an exciting offense with a good quarterback and a good offensive scheme at his price. I kind of want in, and honestly, like, I don't mind clicking Travis Hunter's name late as a later stash too. I know he's talented. He's on this list as well. Definitely more of a dart throw, less excitement, but I know he's a talented wide receiver, and I don't mind just kind of clicking these names, sitting them down on my bench, and seeing what happens.
It's 1,000% taking a chance on. Like you were saying, ever since Liam Cohen arrived in Jacksonville, the offense, it looked very, very different last year in a very, very good way. And the other thing that's really interesting to do in fantasy sometimes when you really can't figure out, like there are multiple players on the team that I really like, who am I going to narrow it down to? Who is this guy going to be? Who am I going to target? Sometimes like following the money and like following the investment that goes into the player is a really good thing. And you talk about Travis Hunter, like, yes, he does the offense defense thing. That's kind of confusing, but second overall pick in the NFL draft, if they're incentivized, they'll put him in the field. And when it comes to Myers specifically, I had to look this up to make sure that I wasn't misremembering, but a month after he got traded from the Raiders to the Jaguars, he signed a 3-year, $60 million extension that runs through the 2027 season. There is an out in that contract, but if they don't get out of it, it runs through 2028. So, like, yeah, like, they paid the dude as soon as he got there. Wouldn't they use him?
I love the point you made about following the money, because we are doing that with Reed. And we are doing that with Watson, and I do think it's an important part. So if we're doing it with Reed and we're doing it with Watson, why are we not doing it with Jacoby Myers as well? So I think he's a guy that we need to be talking a little bit more about. Who we got teed up next here, Herms?
Somebody that I, you know, there are two camps. I think there are a lot of people who either really, really like the upside that Denzel Boston brings to the table. He did have some interesting things going for him as a prospect, but then there are, you know, other folks, and I'm probably more on this line. I'm interested in the Cleveland Browns. I think they're doing some pretty intriguing things, but I'm just not entirely sure how he fits in. But there is a pretty interesting case for him, and I'm interested to hear it from you.
Yeah, to be clear, like, I was pretty out on Denzel Boston as a prospect. I did not have him going in the first round, and he did not. So that's kind of where I'm at, too. But again, this is all about price, right? I do think Casey Concepcion is a better wide receiver, but unsurprisingly, he's more expensive. You actually have to pay a little bit up to get to Concepcion. So for me, I think things are wide open. I'm not really a fan of Judy. I don't mind clicking Judy's name later, but at the same time, like, we know what he is. What is he really going to give you at this point in time? What Denzel Boston brings to this Browns offense is something that I don't think any other wide receiver has. He's the biggest wide receiver on the roster at 6'4". Yes, he's more of a complimentary piece right now, but I just think there is a lot of room to grow. There's unknowns with quarterback, and I think that's baked into the price right now. But I also think he's the kind of guy who could earn targets pretty fast in his offense. So he's a name that I've actually been okay kind of clicking as I've been going later in drafts, as he's more of like a double-digit round pick. He's got second-round draft capital. Just because I don't think he was a good prospect means I need to be out. The price is fine. He's a guy that I'm absolutely okay kind of stashing and seeing what happens. And that's really what this list is about.
Oh, fair enough. And honestly, if you look at what the Cleveland Browns have been doing this offseason, I think it's more than just some of these weapons that they're adding at these skill positions. The complete overhaul that they have done to their offensive line. Like, yes, I know we're talking about pass catchers. We usually talk about offensive line stuff a little bit more for running backs, but like, giving whoever is behind center more time is going to be absolutely massive. And I think it's going to really manifest itself just across the board with this offense this coming season. Now, listeners, if you want to know a little bit more about some of my thoughts for the Cleveland Browns offense and different things like that, I too have an article coming out. One of my next fantasy face-offs is going to be hitting the FTNFantasy.com streets on Wednesday, talking about Quinshon Judkins and another running back. There we go. Free teaser for that one. Had to get that plug in, just the same as we have to get this ad break in. So we are going to take a quick timeout, and then we will come back and talk about a handful of more wide receiver threes, or just like really late round dudes that people are not taking their upside seriously enough. So do not go anywhere, folks. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. Hey everyone, C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the NoVig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right, unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to NoVig.us or download the NoVig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the NoVig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market. And welcome back, folks. This is still the Crossing Routes Podcast. I am still Herms. He is still Tyler Rowe. And we are still talking about some of those late round receivers. Some of these guys who maybe it'll just take an injury on their depth chart ahead of them to find that relevance. But when they do,
the chances for fantasy explosion are very high. And we continue this conversation with a player who, honestly, at the end of last year, man, I know that the Jets offense isn't exactly one that we're like anyone's particularly excited about, but some of these receivers toward the end of the year really found their groove. And one of those guys being Adonai Mitchell, being like kind of an underappreciated piece of that Sauce Gardner trade. Like I think people should maybe be a little bit more considerate of the fact that he was included prominently in that package. I don't know. That's a little bit of a side tangent, but tell me a little bit more about why Adonai Mitchell has piqued your particular interest.
I mean, one, he's free. He's going in the last couple rounds, so we have that going for us. Two, I do think that Geno Smith is going to bring some stability to this offense. Even if he's below average, I think it's going to be some of the better quarterback play they've seen in years. So let me just kind of go over what the Jets have been dealing with. Brady Cook, probably UFL quarterback, arena quarterback. Tyrod Taylor, washed. Justin Fields, can't throw. Aaron Rodgers in 2024, washed. 2023, Tim Boyle, not an NFL quarterback. Trevor Siemian, not an NFL quarterback. Zach Wilson, not an NFL quarterback. 2022, Mike White, not an NFL quarterback. What am I getting at here? I think Geno Smith's still an NFL quarterback, man. And I know things didn't go well with the Raiders, but I think he is a solid top 25 option. And I just named a lot of options that probably are not top 25. So I do think people are writing off this passing attack a little bit more than they should. With that said, A.D. Mitchell's also free because people are just assuming that this is going to funnel through G. Will, which it will, but then it's going to go Kenyon Sadiq and Omar Cooper, and we're just completely forgetting about A.D. Mitchell. And I think that is a little bit of a mistake for some of the reasons that you kind of mentioned. Like, he immediately flashed the downfield ability. You know, that profile is intriguing to me as we kind of look for, you know, towards a team that's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot. In my opinion, he's being drafted as a wide receiver three here, but could easily end up being the wide receiver two. You know, is this somebody that I'm going to be excited about trotting out on a week-to-week basis? But I think there is some upside here considering he's basically free and could be the second leader in targets, maybe even the third on this team. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he has some flexibility on a week-to-week basis, at the very least as a bi-week fill-in. And he's basically being priced as a free option right now. And that's really what this comes down to.
And, you know, one more little, you know, piece of this before we wrap a bow on it and get to the next player. Going back to the end of last year, it wasn't just Mitchell who showed up. People were also really trying to decide between him and John Mechie. Both players kind of showed out a little bit, and it kind of felt like a little bit of, I guess, an audition to make the next year's team for the New York Jets. And listeners, John Mechie, no longer on the Jets. Adonai Mitchell, still in town. I think that in and of itself should say plenty. The next name on our list, though, I'm not going to lie, probably the one that I was most looking forward to talking about, because you look at what the Minnesota Vikings have now with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. And hey, look, if tight end TJ Hockenson bounces back, more power to him. He has been a fantastic player in the past. It wouldn't shock me if he did it again. But once they signed Jawan Jennings, dude, like when he's had the opportunity the last couple seasons over in San Francisco, like he would win fantasy managers weeks. Like, I think like there is a pretty good argument to make that top three combination in the Minnesota offense is one of the best in the entire NFL. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Vikings are playing with, they got a steal with Kyler. They got a steal with Jennings. I mean, I think he got paid half of what I thought he was going to get paid. I mean, with Kittle down in San Francisco, Jennings stepped up to be a true wide receiver one in that offense, right? He shows what he brings to the table. He's physical. He blocks. He's got a good wide receiving skill set. It's just underrated for years. Yes, he is listed as a wide receiver three behind Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. I get that. But my money is on Kyler Murray winning his quarterback job and playing well enough to keep this passing attack clicking and stable. Jennings finished as a top 24 wide receiver in 8 games last season. That's half the year. So at the prices that he's at, I'm in again. Like, God forbid something happens to Jay Jeff or Addison, I think there's real value here with a player that's proven that he can be a fantasy difference maker as a legit top 24 wide receiver when given that opportunity.
Not only that, but you think about how often Jalen Naylor saw the field as the third receiver in this offense over the last couple of seasons, and they're not afraid to throw out three receiver sets. And if you bring in, you know, no offense to Jalen Naylor, he's a professional athlete, he's doing well, he's doing his own thing, but you're pretty heavily upgrading by going to Juwan Jennings. It's entirely possible that they all just see the field enough to be relevant. It could be a really fascinating thing. I think the Vikings offense in general has some very intriguing upside, but it kind of just depends on how you feel about Kyler Murray. I think that's going to be the case for a lot of people, but you know, the case that you laid out, hey, a wide receiver won half the time. That is, it's worth its weight in gold in fantasy football. Maybe this next player could end up pulling off something like that. And even though we've never seen him in the NFL before, Antonio Williams does have the opportunity to seize a pretty massive role in this Washington Commanders offense. Zach Ertz is gone. Deebo Samuel is gone. Cliff Kingsbury is also gone. That's its own kind of issue. We could talk about that if we want to. But the point is, opportunity is aplenty in nation's capital football land. And I think the rookie from Clemson has a pretty special chance to immediately secure a role.
You know, I wasn't necessarily in love with Antonio Williams as a prospect. Adam ranked a little bit lower than consensus, but it's really tough to deny the opportunity that he's looking at here. The Commanders walked into the draft with Treylon Burks as a wide receiver too, and they addressed it here on day two with Antonio Williams. He's a blue chip prospect at Clemson. Now, he didn't really do a lot, but Clemson has a good way of kind of ruining these blue chip prospects. So I guess that's something that we could consider here. But I think the Commanders are going to be good offense. Jaden Daniels is for real. He's a top five quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. They have a legitimate need behind Terry McLaurin. Williams is tough. He's reliable. He's comfortable in traffic. He can find windows. He can track the deep ball, like, you know, creates after the catch. He's going to probably be one of their returners right away. So good capital, good landing spot, good opportunity. He's checking a lot of important boxes here. He's a name that I've been clicking a lot as I've been going into the late mid portion of my drafts.
Yeah, because I mean, like you were saying, Treylon Burks. I mean, there's a Luke McCaffrey. There are other people there. There are certainly other receivers there, but a guy like Antonio Willie, it is a bummer that Clemson doesn't figure things out a little bit more, because I think if Dabo Swinney actually believed in the power of the transfer portal, we could have seen much greater production out of Antonio Williams. But we also may not have seen him fall all the way to the Commanders. So I guess it is rather serendipitous. We'll have to see if he can ascend fully at the pro level. But to be clear, folks, I like his chances a lot too. I am in lockstep with you there. I do want to ask you about this guy, Tesla, Isaac Tesla. I know the Detroit Lions are your account as a lifelong fan, Mr. Tyler O. Tell me a little bit more about this one. It is always extra special to hear about a player who is from a person's favorite team as well.
For me, you know, he's completely off my radar. I don't think anyone really had Tesla as an option going into the draft. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily getting a lot of opportunity as a rookie, but you got to look at what's going on here. So Lions are locked in, going to be a really good offense. They do have an easy schedule, so they could run the ball a bit more, but regardless, it's an offense you want a piece of. They traded multiple future picks to go ahead and grab him in the third. That day two capital means something. His rookie season was, you know, light on the volume, as I mentioned, but it was loaded in the red zone. I mean, 6 touchdowns on 16 receptions. That's pretty much unheard of. Like, obviously this rate is not sustainable. And the sample size is tiny, but we have some signal. Like, he can score touchdowns in the NFL. So the Lions have since cleared out the depth chart to make him the legitimate wide receiver 3 behind Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams. I think all they have left is Dortch, Cedric Wilson Jr., and Kendrick Law. So he's, in my opinion, like, by far and away the easy wide receiver 3 here. So being the third option in this offense, but really, you know, probably the fourth option, honestly, if we're being absolutely real here, probably isn't going to yield a lot out of the gate here, but he is truly, in my opinion, one injury away. God forbid something happens to Amon-Ra or something happens to Jamison Williams. He could be thrust into a full-time role. And we know he has the red zone capability. There are worse names to be clicking in the last couple rounds of your drafts. And that's kind of where we are here with these next couple players. These are much kind of like deeper cuts here. Not wide receiver 3s in the sense of fantasy football, but wide receiver 3s on their team that could really turn into something. And I do believe that is what Isaac Tesla is.
having the ability to go out there and make an absolute smash play happen right out of the gate is, like you were saying, a skill in and of itself. And if they're willing to trust him to do that, who knows what they could be willing to trust him to do in the future. I will turn it over to you if you have any other things that you want to say before we get out of here. But otherwise, I think we're pretty good.
Hey, man, we covered it. Let's roll.
Heck yeah, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us on this fine episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. Remember these names of these wide receiver threes. And if you want to read about it, again, the link to this article is in the description. And we will be back next week to discuss a different topic about fantasy football, because that is what we do. So for Tyler O, I am Herms, and we are saying goodbye.
What do you think about it? Staying up and sleeping late.